Letters and Manuscripts, Volume 12, 1897. Forgetfulness. January 11, 1897. This manuscript is published in entirety in PHO 861-13. Why did ancient Israel so easily forget God's dealings? The people did not retain in their memory His works of greatness and power, or His words of warnings. Had they remembered His wondrous dealings with them, they would not have received the reproof. And forgettest the Lord thy Maker, that hath stretched forth the heavens, and laid the foundations of the earth, and hast feared continually every day because of the fury of the oppressor, as if he were ready to destroy? And where is the fury of the oppressor? Isaiah 51, verse 13. But the children of Israel forgot God, whose they were by creation and by redemption. After seeing all His wonderful works, they tempted Him. I would call the attention of all who claim to be children of God to the 105th, 106th, and 107th Psalms. Please read these Psalms carefully. From them, we may gather the necessity of appreciating the goodness, mercy, and love of our God. The warning comes sounding down along the line to our time. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. While it is said, Today if ye will hear His voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Hebrews 3, verse 12-16. To the ancient people of God were committed the sacred oracles, but God's revealed word was misinterpreted and misapplied. The people despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine, and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 5, verse 20-24. Please read Psalms 91, 92, 95, and 96. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children. Psalm 103, verse 13-17. This testifies of the influence a father and mother may have over their children. To such as keep his covenant, and to them that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Verses 18, 19. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do not iniquity, they walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes! Then shall I not be ashamed, when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart, when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Psalm 119, verse 1-8. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. verses 9 to 11. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live, and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Verses 17 to 26. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies, and not to covetousness. Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way. Stablish thy word unto thy servant, who is devoted to thy fear. Turn away my reproach which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness. Verses 34 to 40. O how love I thy law! It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my mediation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Verses 97 to 104. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. Verses 174, 175. Christ prayed for his disciples, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. John 17, verse 1 to 3. Can we not see the necessity of the apostles' words? Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Hebrews 3, verse 12. I have a message for our people in America. We are a people whom the Lord has made the repository of sacred truth. To us he has opened the living oracles, that we may arise and shine, because our light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. Christ came to our world, but the world could not endure his purity. He has gone to his Father, but he has sent his Holy Spirit to represent him in the world till he shall come again. This is the message we are to bear. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Revelation 1, verse 7. What are we doing? Are we voicing the message of the third angel? The third angel followed them, the first and second angel, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead, or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up for ever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 14, verse 9 to 12. This is the message given by God to be sounded forth in the loud cry of the third angel. The sign or seal of God is the observance of the seventh-day Sabbath, the Lord's memorial of his work of creation. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, Verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep. For it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Exodus 31, verse 12, 13. Here the Sabbath is clearly defined as a sign between God and His people. The mark of the beast is the opposite of this, the observance of the first day of the week. This mark distinguishes those who acknowledge the supremacy of the papal authority, seen in the man of sin thinking to change times and laws, and those who acknowledge the authority of God. The worshippers of the beast are those that receive his mark in their foreheads and in their hands. The faith of Jesus and the testimony of Jesus are blended. They are to be clearly presented to the world. But in God's word, we are shown the consequence of proclaiming this message. The dragon was wroth with the woman, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Revelation 12, verse 17. A refusal to obey the commandments of God, and a determination to cherish hatred against those who proclaim these commandments, leads to the most determined war on the part of the dragon, whose whole energies are brought to bear against the commandment-keeping people of God. He causeth all, both small and great, to receive a mark in their right hand, or in their foreheads. Revelation 13, verse 16. Not only are men not to work with their hands on Sunday, but with their minds they are to acknowledge Sunday as the Sabbath, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the number of his name. Verse 17. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a great voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven, saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. Revelation 18, verse 1-6. The Lord has been greatly dishonored by His people catching up the issues that arise in this time of test and trial. His people are to keep free from politics. They are to stand as a separate, peculiar people. The name of God our ruler is to be in their foreheads, showing to all that He is their sovereign. If those who know the truth will have a faith and zeal corresponding to their knowledge, if they desire to manifest their piety and reveal what the truth has done for them, showing that the salt has not lost its savor, they will communicate the saving and sanctifying power of the truth to all with whom they associate. There will then be less controversy and a deeper interest in the things of God. The man in whose heart the truth is cherished will bring from his treasure house things new and old. In his words and deportment, he will reveal the likeness of Christ. Lift him up, the man of Calvary, higher and still higher. Christ is uplifted by the right use of the faculty of speech. Thus, the Holy Spirit makes an impression upon minds. The righteousness of Christ is the salvation of all who accept Him as their personal Savior. Why did Christ die? To bring light and immortality to light. Through the merits of Christ, men are invited to repent, believe, and obey the commandments of God. Christ died on the cross that He might pardon all transgressing and sin, and bring man back to his loyalty to the commandments of God. By His death, He showed the immutability of the law of God. He illustrated this truth by laying the foundation in His own death, creating a cross as its center and glory. In His redemption plan, He embraces man, placing him once more on vantage ground with God, that his moral capacity might be recognized as amenable to God, who is the supreme ruler. Men are to become the subjects of Christ's kingdom. Through the divine power imputed to them, they are to return to their allegiance. By laws and resources, God has ordained a heavenly communication with man's spiritual life, that in its action is as mysterious as the science and operation of the wind. Christ declared, "My kingdom is not of this world." John 18, verse 36. While it imprints its influence upon earthly governments, it cannot take the slightest imprint from them without marring the divine similitude. So spiritual is the character of God's work upon the human heart that receives it, that it makes everyone a new creature, without destroying or weakening any capability God has given to man. It purifies every attribute fit for connection with the divine nature. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and when man is born from above, a heavenly peace pervades the soul. Christ's subjects are those who keep his commandments. These only are counted as his subjects. If after the light has come, the disobedient continue in transgression, they are subjects of the kingdom of the prince of this world. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. But the heavenly principles that distinguish those who are one with Christ from those who are one with the world have become almost indistinguishable. The professed people of Christ are no longer a separate and peculiar people. The line of demarcation is indistinct. People are subordinating themselves to the world, to its practices, its customs, its selfishness. The church has gone over to the world in transgression of the law, when the world should have come over to the church in obedience to the law. Daily the church is being converted to the world. Professing Christians are slaves of mammon. Their indulgence of appetite and extravagant expenditure of money for selfish gratification dishonors God. Contrary to worldly kingdoms, Christ does not find his subjects, he makes them. Those who stand under the blood-stained banner of Prince Emmanuel are the subjects of a kingdom not recognized by worldly kingdoms, whose subjects have wandered from their allegiance to God, from their obedience to the law of his kingdom. These are accounted as dead in trespasses and sins. They are destitute of the Spirit of God, which worketh in the children of obedience. "I am come," Christ said, "to set up a new kingdom." Except a man be born of the Spirit, he cannot be enrolled as a subject of my kingdom. "If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. He that hath the light on, my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him, and make our abode with him. John 14, verse 15-17, 21-23. God's commandment-keeping people stand under the broad shield of omnipotence, the commandment-breakers under the ensign of the man of sin, who thought to change times and laws. But he could not do this. He only claimed to do it, opening his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. On which side are we ranging ourselves? On the side of the dragon, who was wroth with the woman, and who went to make war with the remnant of her seed, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. I saw three unclean spirits like frogs, John writes, come out of the mouth of the dragon, and out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are the spirits of devils, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, and of the whole world, to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Revelation 16, verse 13-14. On which side are you standing? On the side of those that worship the beast and his image? Are you connected with those who have lost the spiritual principles that distinguish them as men and allied them to God, and who have become secondary subordinates, united with the great apostate? Christ died to make it possible for you to be allied with angels, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If you are obedient to all his commandments, you will reign as kings and priests unto God. Will you choose the degrading captivity of disobedience and transgression? Will you link yourselves with those who make void God's law? The law that controls God's kingdom gives no encouragement to those who continue in transgression and sin. Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. 1 John 3, verse 4-8. Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But if a man be just, and do that which is lawful and right, and hath not oppressed any, but hath restored to the debtor his pledge, hath spoiled none by violence, hath given his bread to the hungry, and hath covered the naked with a garment, he that hath not given forth upon usury, neither hath taken any increase, that hath withdrawn his hand from iniquity, hath executed true judgment between man and man, hath walked in my statutes, and hath kept my judgments to deal truly. He is just, he shall surely live, saith the Lord God. Ezekiel 18, verse 4, 5, 7-9. Old Testament history agrees perfectly with the New. After light has come to us through the Scripture, we are inexcusable if we do not walk in the light. For an unseen influence is drawing the soul to obedience, that it may bear witness to the truth. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments, and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. 1 John 3, verse 8, 9, 22-24.